Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Here at newsounds.org, we still can't have live guests in our studios, so for these Soundcheck podcasts, we're doing a mix of remote performances and some memorable sessions from our archives. This is one of the latter, and for this one, we take you back to 2015.
Now he's rewarded me well for my love, for he's going to be wed to another.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This old folk song was collected over 100 years ago out in the English countryside. Now it's been recorded by the singer and multi-instrumentalist Olivia Cheney from her debut LP called The Longest River. Olivia's been nominated for a couple of BBC Radio 2's Folk Awards, but her definition of folk music turns out to be pretty broad. Her album includes a song by the Baroque composer Henry Purcell, a tune by the Norwegian jazz singer Sidsel Endresen, and a lot of her own originals. In fact, she's going to play some of those for us live in the Soundcheck studio today. Here is Olivia Cheney with Jordan Hunt on violin and a song called Swimming in the Longest River.
Freud never got to be loved in Egypt. swimming in that river, I would oft come up for air. But lately my lungs have expanded, that or I've developed gills. And we're all swimming in that river, I would oft come up for air. But lately my lungs have expanded, that or I've developed gills.
That is Olivia Cheney performing her song Swimming in the Longest River live at Our Piano with Jordan Hunt on violin and a bit of backing vocals. You'll find that on Olivia's record called The Longest River. And while that piece featured the piano, we also get a chance to hear Olivia playing guitar and harmonium, both on the record and here in the Soundcheck studio. Olivia, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having us.
I have to ask it's a kind of a silly question to begin with, but the longest river is denial, is the line in the... Now, where I come from, the traditional accent is, someone says, the longest river is denial.
Right. Okay.
Is that not a thing in...
But to me that sounds like the joke works better over here then. So it's good I got signed to an American label.
Yeah.
Denial.
It's denial, you know? The big river in Egypt, denial.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to get a recording of you doing it and just take that to every show when people don't get the joke.
Yeah. So now that is your own song.
Yeah.
But it's, for you, kind of an old song, right?
Yeah. In fact, it's nice to play it here, and it's kind of strange because one of the first times I ever aired it in any sense was here with David Garland years ago, and it was like I was coming out here on an English folk showcase to South by Southwest and all this kind of stuff, and amazingly David found me like on MySpace and was like, hey, have you got time to come do a session? I was like, yeah, you're kidding,
so
great.
This was for David's Spinning on Air program.
Exactly.
Here at WNYC.
Yeah, years ago.
Is it a folk song of a sort?
Oh, good question. I don't think so. No, to me it's not. And to me, in a way, it's kind of quite postmodern because I'm layering lots of ideas in, you know, for me and my psyche, emotionally, what I'm talking about. The refrain in the middle where it changes key was meant to be like one's kind of... Well, it was meant to be a bit reminiscent of like those Victorian cautionary tale nursery rhymes that are often about really gruesome things, but they like the ring of roses, you know, which is actually about the
plague.
Exactly. So it was meant to have that kind of sound sweet, but actually when you listen to the lyrics, it's like, what the fuck is she talking about? Sorry, I just swore on WMIC. So that's, yeah. So it's, I mean, of course, it was when I was delving into and singing a lot of traditional songs, and so it's inspired from that, but I wouldn't call it a folk song, a modern folk song, maybe.
Maybe. One of your forebears, I mean, there have been numerous waves of folk singers from England, beginning with Pentangle and Fairport Convention, and you had people like Maddie Pryor. June Tabor came out of that world.
Yeah.
And, I mean, listening to your album and the wide array of music, it kind of reminds me of where she's gone with her career.
Oh, thank you. Well, I take that as a great compliment. I definitely went through a quite a conscientious, like, listen to her because she listened to Anne Briggs. Like, I remember reading...
Anne Briggs being the great folk singer
that
John Renbourn and people like that learned
exactly
from.
Exactly. The now late John Renbourn and Bertie Ansch, they're all leaving us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hope I don't sound like I'm imitating anyone because I'm not trying to, but it's just following that kind of emotional purity and also the thing of singing in her own accent,
right,
and all of that kind of stuff. Because I, when I listen back to recordings of when I was at college and doing singing loads of stuff from like pop to experimental to kind of everything, lots of contemporary classical. I still reckon I had a bit of American accent creeping in there. And I was just saying to an interview this morning, it's nothing against an American accent, but it's not how I speak. So why would I sing like that? So I wrestled with a lot of those things. And June Table was definitely a very helpful and inspiring kind of benchmark.
Yeah. And, you know, your record, like many of her records, draws on so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, The Longest River has, you know, the English Baroque, Norwegian jazz, Chilean folk, an old English folk song, and then, of course, your own writing. What, if any, of these musics did you grow up with?
Well, I certainly grew up with... I grew up singing loads of Purcell, amazingly. You know, I was lucky, and I joined this crazy choir. So from a really young age, I was out there doing like Baroque dancing and kind of singing all the different parts. And
you grew up saying Purcell as opposed to Purcell.
It's
weird because...
Different pronunciation. Yeah. That's not just an American English thing.
Some people
in England say it as well.
I
say Purcell now.
Okay.
I think I do. I'm getting confused now.
Tomato or tomato?
Definitely tomato. A huge range, even just with that choir. We did like Gregorian plain chant, and then we'd do really kind of modern experimental stuff that young composers in Oxford would write for us. And we did loads of really cheesy kind of jazzy arrangements of things, which I loved as a kid. We did everything. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But I think some of that Baroque and Renaissance stuff really, you know, got into my blood. But as did all the Joni and Dylan records and the car journeys to and from Italy with my dad, but then loads of opera, Tracy Chapman, Prince, I don't know, you know, loads, a lot of Billie Holiday. My dad and my sister were both obsessed. That's one of the funny things about putting out your first record so late is it's a bit like as you get older in life, you get a bit harsher in your priorities. And I feel like musically, stylistically, it's like, there's loads of stuff I love, but it's like there's only so many things I feel like I can say with a real kind of as much like, well, I don't want to say profundity because that's like saying I'm profound, but like you're trying to do that.
Right.
And I don't want to spread myself too thin. And I have, you know, have been known to do that sometimes.
Well, you took your time making this first record.
Thanks, John.
Well, you know, I actually, you know, in this day and age when bands post a song on SoundCloud or Bandcamp and then a week later they're all over the internet and then a month later they're history.
Yeah.
It's nice to see something that has kind of grown over a period of years.
Oh, well, I'm really glad you say that because that's, I feel... I was a bit, you know, that's why I'm joking, kind of teasing you about it, because of course I did feel a bit self-conscious at first, and I'm no prolific songwriter, and I'm a slow learner as a person. I always do everything the hard way and then kind of, you know, burn my fingers and the rest of it.
Should mention the producer, Leo Abraham.
Yeah, who made it with Leo.
Who has worked with Brian Eno.
Loads,
a lot. The song King's Horses that you're going to play for us next, what's the idea or the piling on of ideas here?
Well, these questions, they're too good for... I feel like it's early in the morning. What time is it in London now, George?
7 p.m., I think so.
Oh, no excuse then. I should be in my prime. Damn, no excuse. King's Horses is like almost the opposite kind of approach, I think, from Swimming Along the River. It was, you know, genuine... extreme heartbreak at the time and kind of battling with everything. Felt like I couldn't write anything, could hardly play the guitar, had no job, had no what, like was just, you know, pretty crappy period. And I don't know, I remember when I first started writing the opening bit, I was trying to do something kind of a bit odd and sparse, but then lyrically I wanted it to be quite kind of removed. And I think lots of my songwriting is like really kind of bare your soul, but there's one, it's one step away because it's so kind of classical and I'm using that nursery rhyme and
right. But yeah, so the imagery gives us a little bit of a sense of seeing as if from a distance or from a different angle maybe.
I think it's more what I mean is a kind of there's that formality and that's something that I think I'll always be wrestling with and fascinated by in my life, with you know, like whether I'm looking at someone else's painting or my own songwriting or whatever, it's like, where do you leave tradition behind, or where do you leave form as we know it behind? Right. And I think King's Horses was, and I actually ditched it. I thought it was crap, and I kind of, and I'm sure some people still might, but some people like the song, but I did ditch it. And then I came back to it and was much more confident about, like, yep, needs to be like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Olivia Cheney is the songwriter. Bit of a potty mouth, as we've already.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
The song might be crap. It might not be.
I'm so... And this is live, isn't it? So you can't do little beeps and edit it like a hip hop rapper.
We might
I'm
beep
so
you later,
sorry.
Or we might just leave it all in. You want to play the song for us?
Yeah.
All right, Olivia Cheney. The album's called "The Longest River." Here's her song, "King's Horses."
Once I had a king, wore an invisible crown. Sometimes spoke truth, mostly he knew to say the wrong thing. They want
Once again, Olivia Cheney, live on Soundcheck. From her album The Longest River, that song is called King's Horses, one of her own. Live performance here on Soundcheck today. And moving now to the harmonium for a song that's a little bit different. This is called Waxwing, and it was written by the Scottish folk singer Alistair Roberts. Here, once again, is Olivia Cheney with Jordan Hunt on violin to perform live on Soundcheck.
Waxwing, waxwing, what do you bring from the frozen north? Waxwing, waxwing, we've been waiting on you. I bring the amber that I have gathered on the northern seashore. For the hatchlings I have fathered for thee. I've been underground where wyverns are bound and where gold and jewels abound. Are hoarded under my very brown
live performance here in the Soundcheck studio from Olivia Cheney, singing and playing the harmonium, Jordan Hunt on violin and singing as well. The song called Waxwing, written by Alistair Roberts, the Scottish folk singer. And before that, King's Horses, an Olivia Cheney original. Her album's called The Longest River. It is out now, her debut LP here in the States. You've worked with Alistair Roberts.
Yeah, lots, yeah.
He's a really interesting part of this kind of current wave, it seems, of British music. I hate to call them folk musicians because you all do so much, but yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So if you had to, I mean, you know, you would characterize the 60s and 70s groups like Pentangle, Fairport mm-hmm. Convention yeah. as folk rock. Then you had, yeah. like, the kind of folktronica bands around the turn of the century, bands like Tongue, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, because I know Alistair and, like, he and I talk about this stuff and, you know, for a start, he's Scottish.
Right.
So he feels that's like an other thing. And he's far more learned than I am about the traditional stuff. And he's so prolific in terms of putting out albums. So he, like, basically seems to alternate. He'll put out a trad album and then an originals album.
And he'll put these groups together. Have you heard the Furrow Collective?
Yeah.
I mean, just like
amazing,
haunting versions of these old murder ballads and stuff.
Yeah. No, he's a prolific dude. He's very skinny. I'm sure there's a connection there. I tease him about it when we go on the road together. He eats lumps of cheese sometimes. No,
because he can, because he's skinny.
It's like weird brain food moment. I blame his German Presbyterian minister mother. No, I'm joking. She's wonderful as well. But that's another thing. You know, it's like I'm not even kind of whatever, a thoroughbred English. I'm kind of half Australian, quarter Dutch. It's like he's half German. So again, it's like when people are like this British movement, I suppose it...
Well, but that's, you know, there's such a deep wellspring of great stories to draw from.
Exactly. And you're helping me get back to the point, which is that I suppose in that kind of weird paradoxical way, sometimes the less of that culture you feel, or you go back and you delve back and you question it, and that's what, again, I feel like I'm will be continually doing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny when people are like, oh, she's so English and this English folk, and it's like, oh, right, yeah, I suppose so. But I know that my interests and influences are so broad. But yes, I am kind of questioning that myself. But yeah, I don't know how to club us all together. It's kind of hard because I suppose we as individuals, knowing some of the people who might come under that banner, all are kind of coming at things from quite a different angle and feel different things and have really different backgrounds, you know? Like Alistair's kind of coming from actually more punky, like indie background. Mm-hmm. If anything, my background's probably more classical.
Right.
And he's like, we both are kind of fascinated by that. And even myself personally, look at me, I'm struggling to kind of answer it. So,
well, that's not a bad sign, actually, because, you know, when you can easily pigeonhole something, you do pigeonhole.
Right.
And it's nice.
Right.
You know, music has always proven to be a little more fluid than that.
Yeah.
So the album's out. It's called The Longest River. And as we mentioned before, it was a long time coming. So are you writing a new set of songs now?
Yeah, I am. I've got a new set of songs, which I'm really excited about. But maybe I'll get good at writing songs on the road. But at the moment, I feel like I need, a month or two to hide away and finish all these songs and get ready for the second album.
All right.
So don't hold your breath.
So this song Cassiopeia, you wanted to do this one last because you said it's a big sing.
It is. Quick sip of coffee.
All right, Olivia Cheney, the record is called The Longest River. Here she is in our soundcheck studio at our piano with a song called Cassiopeia.
Cassiopeia, with your lovely tongue, in galaxies you divine, new religion. We are only birds, each with a broken symptom, blind to feel, telescopic horizon, starry skies. You heal ascending, family transcending. Impatience kills the dawn with tonight. And it's far too late for luxury of hate. Represent the unexpected. Go where no man has gone before. Tend faith, a case you grow.
Performance from Olivia Cheney, live at Our Piano here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Cassiopeia, and you'll find it on Olivia's record called The Longest River, which is out now on the Nonesuch label. Jordan Hunt helping out on violin. And Olivia, are you by any chance a Kate Bush fan?
Oh, yeah. God, I'm honored you say that after that song. I've never thought of it, but...
Well, it just put me in mind of some of her... slower, kind of more sparse.
Oh, loved that stuff. Okay. And that was definitely part of the car journey listening as well. Yeah, I never name check her. I don't know why. I suppose it's funny because with some of the, like, I suppose the people who are like known for pop, like big pop, even though her or David Bowie or whatever are like actually so wacky, and but they managed like to do these pop songs and have massive commercial success more than say Joni Mitchell or whatever.
Right.
So like for some reason I don't end up talking about them as much, but of course they're like, you know, massive influence as well.
Well, I heard it in Cassiopeia.
Great. So thank you. I'm honored.
Olivia, it's been a great pleasure having you here with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for having us. There's not a swain of the plain will be blessed as me. Oh, could you but on me smile.
You've been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.
But wish I held with a scornful eye, kill me by your cruelty. Can you be so high?